This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, Stu, I don't think we're going to see energy prices rise. They've already come down in response to President Trump's actions, just his messaging on marketplaces. What you're going to see is tariffs on U.S. exports come down across the world. President Trump's message has been free and fair trade, reciprocal trade. I'm talking to foreign leaders all the time, and they want two key things. They want to buy more American products. I'm talking to them mostly about energy, and they want to invest more dollars in the United States. We've got to remember, this president was elected to lower energy prices. He's been at work on that every single day. And of course, I'm working together with him on it. I'm actually super optimistic about where we're going. We're going to have lower energy prices, more investment in this country, more jobs for Americans. And Trump's central premise was that low-cost energy was good for American citizens, it was good for American security, it was good for America standing abroad, and he is full steam ahead on that agenda.
So that was the Energy Secretary, Chris Wright, and it's interesting to see his take, of course, on energy. And Donald Trump has made a commitment on bringing energy down, which he said was going to ultimately domino in lowering costs for businesses, deliveries, all the things that go into production. It seems as though everything Donald Trump wants to do to stoke this economy is... it's transformative. Like, you have to reset the foundation of the economy in order to get the results that he wants to see. And of course, tariffs are a big part of that. The YouTube live chat poll for today: do you support Trump's tariffs? Yes, unsure, or no? We'll do the same thing we did yesterday. And if we get 300 votes before 2 o'clock, we will take phone calls on this in the 2 o'clock hour. We're at about 200 votes right now, and I think that might be the first time I've said the poll. So let us know what you think about Trump's tariffs, if you're confident in them or if you're a little shaky on it. I want to ask my friend and guest, Mark Cox, about that, as well as what's going on in the state of Missouri. Mark Cox joins us now, of course, host of the Mark Cox Morning Show. Mark, thank you for coming on with us. It's good to have you back.
Yeah, my pleasure, Annie. Thank you very much. I am a solid yes on the tariffs.
And give us an explanation, because I would say, if I'm being honest, I'm unsure, but I trust Trump. But I still have a little, I hope he's right about this. What gives you the confidence?
Well, you know, here's the thing. I watched an interview this morning with Donald Trump from 1987. And in 1987, then businessman Donald Trump was complaining about how unfairly the United States was treated around the world. That has only gotten worse since 1987, and no president has ever addressed it. So I watched Caroline Leavitt yesterday. You may have seen the news conference outside. She was outside somewhere, and she held up a chart, and she pointed out to the tariffs that other countries charge us. Like, Japan charges a 700% tariff on U.S. rice, and the EU charges a 50% tariff on any U.S. goods going into the European Union. And my question is, why has no inquisitive reporter gone to the Japanese embassy and asked the ambassador to explain why they think it's okay that they charge 700% for U.S. products and we don't do the same thing to them.
Mm-hmm. What's, I mean, I'm trying to think in my mind, and I don't know enough about economics. You certainly are more experienced in this department than I am, Mark. But like, how could this go south? I'm trying to think of, I can listen to Donald Trump make the case of all the positive directions that tariffs could take us. It makes complete sense to me when he explains it, when Carolyn Leavitt shows those graphs, that all makes a whole lot of sense to me. But I don't know enough about the whole realm to understand, okay, this is what he thinks is going to happen, but what else could happen here that could cause us to go south?
The gamble is that the stock market reacts completely on emotion and not reality. And the emotion is that, well, this is immediately going to make prices go up a little bit. And obviously people get nervous about that. And Donald Trump's admitted there's going to be some pain. But there's no way the U.S. loses this gambit. We're the 900-pound gorilla in the room. Every country in the world wants to do business in the United States. And to some extent, they all want access to U.S. products. So even if Canada stomps its little foot up there. I watched that Ontario Prime Minister, whatever his name is, Doug Ford, the other day, claiming he's going to try to bring as much pain as he can to U.S. Residents over this because he's mad. And I'm thinking 95% of all Canadian imports come from the United States. All of their companies sell stuff in the United States. They cannot withstand that battle very long. Mm-hmm. And Donald Trump knows that, and those countries know that, and they can stomp their feet and throw a fit. But ultimately, they're going to have to come to the table and either reduce their tariffs or it's going to damage their economy, too. I don't think there's going to be a long trade war over this.
Mark, I really like this debate. I like this topic because it's the kind of political debate we used to have in America, and both sides would come to the table and say, "Oh, I think this will happen. I think this will happen." But now we just yell. But now we're actually discussing a real topic here, and yeah. So I want to ask you another tariff question. And I really don't know how you'll answer this. Are you afraid that these nations that typically have done a lot of business with the United States, that they might form new coalitions and decide to do business with each other rather than the United States?
I guess they might, but what are they going to eat? I mean, Procter & Gamble and these big companies sell some of the most enjoyed products in the world, medicines, tires, automobiles. I mean, there are people outside of the United States that demand those products. I don't think they could pivot their economies quickly enough to do that, Ryan, to be honest. They may fluster and bluster about it, but I don't think they can do it. I mean, it would take them too long to make deals like that and redirect trade routes and all of that. They've gotten fat off the back of American consumers for too long. And it's time for somebody to put a stop to it. I'm glad Trump's doing it.
Mark Cox is with us right now, host of the Mark Cox Morning Show right here on 97.1 FM Talk. I encourage you to check out Mark's Facebook page. You guys stream there every day on the show, and I know that you guys pay a lot of attention to that chat as well. So folks need to go like your Facebook page. Mark, I want to talk a little bit about Missouri. You and Mark Reardon do a wonderful job of covering these elections. We all here in this room are on the Illinois side. We're voting today and getting some results by the end of today. Tell me a little bit about what is in store for Missouri and where you're focusing your attention.
Yeah, I put out this voter guide. I try to each election. I always get questions about it. Are you going to do it? Are you going to do it? This is not a big election in Missouri. These off-year elections. In fact, Senator Nick Schroer in Missouri has a bill that he's introduced that would move these elections to either August or November. Because I think last year we got 15 or 16% turnout in some parts of St. Charles County. It was only barely higher in parts of St. Louis County. I mean, that's pathetic. And these are the elections where we're electing school board members who are going to decide your next tax rate.
Yeah,
they're going to decide curriculum issues. They're going to decide bathroom issues if your daughter has to go into a bathroom with a boy. I mean, these are critical positions. And for too long, voters have paid very little attention to them, and you can see the direct impact of that in test scores and how our schools are operating these days.
What's the reason to have them in April? I'm wondering the same thing about Illinois or anything like that. Why spring elections? Why would you not just have them in November?
I don't know the answer to that. When I brought this up to Rick Stream the other day, who is the Republican elections director, they have a Republican and a Democrat in St. Louis County. He was opposed to moving it because, for example, last November, the ballot was so long. If you had added all of these municipal elections, because there are county board elections, I think, in some counties. There's certainly a lot of municipal city council positions and mayoral positions that are on there. In addition to the school board issues, you might have had a 7 or 8 page ballot. And I think some of them are concerned that if it's automatically moved to every November, that wouldn't happen every year, but ever so often you'd come across a general election and you'd have a 7 or 8 page ballot. I think that's the main opposition to it. Now, if you run the NEA, your opposition to it is you don't want the competition.
Yeah.
The NEA thrives on getting its own members elected to these boards who then do the NEA's bidding for curriculum and bond issues and all of that stuff. They're perfectly happy leaving it in April because they have a built-in voter base that turns out and votes. Many of them are teachers.
You know, I don't know. I would rather vote in November on a 7 or 8 page ballot and spend all my time preparing for that than the infinitesimal teeny tiny amount of people who show up for these April votes.
I agree. I said that to Rick. I said I would trade the 70% voter turnout we had in November and an 8-page ballot for a 15% voter turnout in April. And obviously, as the elections director, he had a different point of view on it, but I still think it's important to get people to the polls. And I set that up to point out the fact that my voter guide is fairly short this year. I mean, it is physically impossible. You know, even though I have the largest staff in the radio station, as you're well aware of,
mm-hmm.
15 or 20 people who work mm-hmm. for me. I don't know about you, Annie.
Yeah.
I'm kind of a big deal. I've got all these people that work for me.
I'm pretty sure Ryan Wiggins is one of them.
I actually prefer working with Mark Cox.
I bet you do. I prefer you working with Mark Cox, too.
I'm a one-man operation.
And
I couldn't – there's no way I could cover – every single one of the ballot issues. And so what I tried to do was focus on the major school board issues where I thought my listeners could make a difference.
Sure.
And therefore, you know, I've covered the Fox District, Francis Howell, Jefferson County Community College, Kirkwood, Lindbergh, Webster Groves, and Wentzville. Those are the school board issues. Now, there are a lot of other districts that have school board races, but it's pretty clear that there are no candidates in those races that I can support. Mm-hmm. They're all people that are either woke or they're supported by the Missouri NEA, and they're not going to vote in the best interest of the children. So that was my standard for the people. The background information that I've received on these individuals, these are the ones I can support for school board.
Mark, before we let you go, we had a little conversation yesterday on the air. I went to Macoupin County, Illinois, this weekend and spoke at their Lincoln Day dinner. I know that you're constantly going to these. It's Lincoln Day dinner season in the spring. And so I know that you're doing all of this. And I'm going to continue to have this conversation on the air so that the people who do are our people. Mark, you know, the people you have and the people I have hear this and say, oh, maybe we do need to do this. I think 97.1 should have either a Missouri Lincoln Day dinner in 1 year and in Illinois the next, or we should have a joint Lincoln Day dinner of sorts and make a big thing out of it. Because I'm seeing a lot of people in Illinois, I don't know if it's the same in Missouri, there are a lot of people who are pretty jazzed up with that +8, +9 Trump turnout. Donald Trump did very well in the state of Illinois. It doesn't reflect in the gerrymandered districts, but there are people who are seeing the possibility that things could change in Illinois, and I know Missouri is always on fire for the right kind of conservative politics. I think we should have a station Lincoln Day dinner. What would you think about that?
I'm with you, Annie. I think that there would be a big appetite for that right now, no pun intended. I mean, sometimes those are rubber chicken dinners, we call them, because the food's not always great. But the passion is there, and people show up because they want to hear from there's certain elected officials and whoever the, you know, the speaker of the night happens to be. Mm-hmm. I think that'd be a great idea.
And we'll have good food. We won't have rubber chicken.
We will make sure we have. We'll get Grillmaster Tony or somebody to cater that so that we have really good food. Let me mention one more thing before I run.
You bet.
I also cover St. Louis County's Prop B on here, and that's important for people listening in your audience who are in St. Louis County. This would allow the county council to, on a supermajority vote, if it was necessary, to fire department heads because they can't get cooperation from Sam Page. I'm a big yes on Prop B.
Yes on
and
Prop
Sam
B.
Page, yeah, Sam Page is spending a lot of money to defeat Prop B because he doesn't want the competition, but I'm a big yes on Prop B.
On Prop B. Very, very well said. All right, Mark, we appreciate you. Thank you for coming on with us. Go back to your afternoon.
All right, Annie, thanks.
Take care. Bye-bye. I don't understand why you would not move these April elections.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's so hard to get people motivated.
It is. And when I said yesterday that the election in my town had a total of 760 people in a town of 25,000 that had voted so far. Now, today, that'll change because that's election day. But all early voting was 760 people.
If anybody is listening to me right now and you are watching a precinct and you want to text me if you know me or you know people who know me and text me how many people have showed up to vote, I'd be curious.
I would love to hear
in
that.
In Illinois.
Yeah.
How many people have voted today? Because this is what we were discussing yesterday. Like, you could literally decide an election with your vote.
I've said it to my small group at church. I'm like, look, there are 10 people here. You guys could decide the whole election.
Completely.
And it's true.
All right. Let's take a quick break. The YouTube live chat poll. Do you support Trump's tariffs? Yes, unsure, or no? Probably should have promoted this a little bit earlier in the show. We've got 210 votes. If we get 90 votes on this before the 2 o'clock hour, we'll take questions on it in the 2 o'clock hour. Right now, you can vote yes, unsure, or no. Do you think Donald Trump knows what he's doing and you very much so support it? Are you scratching your head a little bit but maybe hoping for the best? Are you like, no, heck no, I don't like this? Annie Fry YouTube channel. You go to youtube.com/@AnnieFry. We need less than 300 new subscribers to get to 12,000, which would be amazing on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. We invite you personally to come hang out with us there. We'll be right back.